This is Smallsy Surgery.
I met someone tonight. I feel a little inspired. This one's called Closer. Cause I want to get closer
to you now. Whatever what people will say.
I don't care what they say. We're gonna dance
before we walk. Hi, I'm Nicholas Galitzine. I feel like I don't meet people like you very often. So I guess what I'm doing here is just trying to get to know you better.
Well, I do appreciate your honesty.
What's up, Smallsy? Good to see you, mate.
Good to see you. How are you? Well, last time we spoke, I was going to call you Nicholas, but then you said we're all right to roll with Nick. Is that good?
It is good. Yeah. It was Nick and Juju last time.
Oh, how do you remember that? Someone had to have told you that. Someone had to have.
No. I've got a good man. Well, you know what? It's because, I mean, Julianne has always been Julie to me. I didn't even know we could go even further into Juju.
Okay.
But it really, so we were both surprised.
That was really another level of getting to know Julianne Moore. I always refer to her as her three names. That's just me. Anyway, congratulations on the new movie. I have loved this since the very first moment I saw it. I have been waiting for the world to see it.
Thank you, mate. I really appreciate that.
Maybe I'm a sucker for like a rom-com deep down, but I'm also, this is your moment to become a pop star if you ever wanted to do that. Is this something that you want to do?
I mean, I've always loved music, and I think that just getting the chance to work with really talented people, you know, Servan Catecho is an amazing writer within the pop space. And getting to spend a few days with him in Sweden, record all these songs, you know, getting to do these Coachella sequences. I mean, you know, I'm sure we've all had a dream of being in a boy band at one point in our life, and it was very, it was a lot of dream fulfillment, I think, doing the movie.
Now, tell me, doing those the sequences at Coachella, and then even working with those writers, because they're the same writers that worked with One Direction and made the What Makes You Beautiful. So the songs in this movie, when people hear them, they're going to be like, oh my God, they're instant classics. Like, is this a real band? Like, what happened here? Like, they've gone the 100 in on this to make this, you know, August Moon and the band actually have a life of its own, right?
Yeah, I mean, which is the really fantastic thing about the movie and already the kind of the fans of the movie and the music without the movie even really being out yet. I think that's you know, I've talked with the lads and we're all just really floored by people's support and the fact that they already have, you know, their favorites, they're back in the music, they're excited to watch the movie. That was all part of, you know, Kathy Shulman, the producer, and Michael Showalter, director, that was all part of their plan is they wanted to make this band feel like they could legitimately exist within, you know, the world that we know.
Yeah,
And I hope we really succeeded.
No, 100% you did. Did you go to like a boy band boot camp or anything like that? Was there any sort of like, I mean, did you speak to anybody? Did they go, hey, here's Gary Barlow or here's, I don't know. I don't know. Did you speak to someone to go, hey, look, this is what it was like for us, just so you as an actor have an idea what it's like playing those characters?
Yeah, I honestly think that it was more just reading the script, finding out who Hayes was as a person, discovering what it feels like to, you know, be a teenager and then suddenly be perceived by the entire world and really grow up in the spotlight. And then I think once you have the humanity down, then you just kind of engage with each other as bandmates, build that chemistry so you can perform it on stage. And so there wasn't really too many outside references that we really needed to draw on. I feel like we were really set up to succeed in how, you know, they kind of scheduled everything out for us when it came to, as you said, the sort of the boy band boot camp and doing the pre-records with Savin. And it just kind of all happened so organically.
What's more fun? Like, so now, obviously, like, you've done a little bit of, it seems like, or feels like, and I've stalked you YouTube, I'm not going to lie to you. So you can definitely, everyone needs to know, you can definitely sing, definitely play the guitar. You've done the, I guess, the living the life of a musician where you're sort of doing pre-records and you're in the studio and you're doing rehearsals and you did the Coachella sequence. But then flip that, you've done the actor side of things, right? Which is, I mean, I guess there's the days are much, well, at least from my experience, right? Because I probably lean more on the music side. The days in film and TV are way longer. There's a lot less going on. There's a lot more waiting around.
To counter that, you know, musicians go on tour, and that's pretty gnarly, I have to say. I think it's you know, there's obvious comparisons you can make between the two professions, and I think there are sides of music that I think are really great. The fact that you can, like, anyone can just sort of pick up a guitar and get a microphone and start kind of recording or performing, whereas, you know, with acting, oftentimes you're very reliant on someone else putting a production together or you know, getting an audition to work in a movie. And so I think that, you know, acting has been my job for a decade now. Yeah. And so music's kind of, you know, getting to sort of play out this boy band, this musician character, was kind of very refreshing in a different way. It gave me a very different appreciation for it that I think
Would you moonlight as a musician? If someone, I don't know, if Simon, I don't know if he's in charge anymore, but if Simon Cowell was like, Nick, look, I think Harry Styles has taken 7 years off and we need someone to fill. Would you go, okay, TV, okay, movies, see you later. I'm making an album and I'm gonna give the Moonheads, which, just so everyone knows, that's the fan group that the character, I'm talking like everyone's seen the movie. Would you go, okay, yeah, I'm gonna give it a go. I'm gonna actually headline Coachella legit as Nicholas Galitzine.
I mean, honestly, I have too much respect for all of the people who do that to really say. I mean, it's something that I would have to train at for a really long time. You know, I'm friends with people like Camila Cabello, who's amazing, and Rene Rapp, who's having this, like, her career's blowing up, and you know, acting is my kind of first love in a way, and I think, you know, just this sort of opportunity that I've had within the last couple of years that's sort of continuing has been really, really nourishing. But music is something that I also find really, really exciting. And so I can't really rule out, you know, not trying my hand at it at one point in time.
Absolutely. Now, without giving too much away about the film, it obviously plays on age difference, being... just give me, in your own words, maybe the 411 on the movie for people, because it's about to drop in Australia.
Yeah, I mean, it's a love story between a woman who is a divorcee. She's a brilliant art gallerist, but perhaps maybe lost her mojo in life in some capacities. Otherwise, very, very fulfilled in her life. And then she has this really bizarre meet cute with this musician who she doesn't know is a musician at first. At Coachella, and their chemistry is instant, and they kind of spark this this sort of epic romance in a way that not everyone in the world is cool with, and so it's about negotiating fame. It's very much a coming of age story. We kind of see it as in a lot of ways. You know, this is a woman who turns 40 in our film, and you know, Annie's actual birthday, turning 40, was, I think, a day before we shot Solène's birthday scene. And so, it's just that I think it's a really wonderful, epic love story that has a lot of joy in it, but also I think has a really profound message at the heart of it too.
Lovely. I'm running out of time, but I don't know if you're aware or if you have TikTok, but I have TikTok, and it's very easy to watch just a couple of videos of you, Nick, and then before you know it, you're actually in a Nicholas, like, rabbit hole, and then all of your videos. You've got a very passionate fan base.
Really?
I'm not sure if anyone's told you or if you've encountered that. So I just wanted to say, A, share that, and B, ask something that might go viral on that TikTok rabbit hole. The tattoos from the film, are they yours? Do you have any? Would you show me?
I they're not mine. I don't have any, and so much so, you know, I had to film Mary and George right after Idea of You, and I went into the hair and makeup trailer, and they were panicking already, because the image that they'd been sent and told was my own, was the image of me with all of my tattoos from the Idea of You. So they were thinking, bloody hell, he's going to take his kit off on camera, and we're going to have to cover these things up, you know, at 3 a.m. in the morning every single day. So I would say to other actors, if you're thinking about getting tattoos, unless you value having no sleep at all, don't do it. It's not worth it.
Great advice.
Do what I did. Stick them on to yourself for a movie and then get rid when you're done.
Great advice. Hey, well, man, a pleasure to speak to you again. Congratulations on everything going on in your world. And we can't wait to have you here in Australia one day.
Yeah, man, I'd love that. Great to see you, Smallsy. Cheers, mate.
Smallsy Surgery
is a Nova podcast. For more great shows like this, head to novapodcast.com.au.